With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
We have become, instead of Jesus seekers, sign seekers. A fascination with sign seeking and the attending pitfalls of sorcery and evil spirits and false teaching is always lurking right underneath the ground level of God's people and their heart. And Jesus wants to disabuse them of their vulnerability of false teachers taking advantage of their curiosity for signs.
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us the second part of a message entitled, What is the Sign of the End of the Age? An expectant couple is on pins and needles as the due date approaches. And when the birth pangs begin, it is a sign that the time is near for their newborn baby to be delivered. Well, Jesus told his disciples about birth pangs of a completely different kind, namely, the convulsions of a broken world that signify to us that the end of the age is approaching. Many will interpret these events as the sign of the end of the age, but in fact, they are like birth pangs that will increase with consistency, intensity, and insistency as the end of the age draws even closer. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 24. We're looking at verses 1 through 14. Here again is Harry Reeder with a message entitled, What is the Sign of the End of the Age?
The first thing he does is, instead of answering the sign of his coming and the sign of the end of the age, he tells them what's not the sign of the end of the age. So that brings us to the third section. The third section is his prophetic answer. What is his prophetic answer? Well, his prophetic answer is to, first of all, now let me just say, folks, now here's where we jump off. Boom. I feel so good about everything I've said to you right now. Now I just jump into the abyss right in front of you. All right? Because over here is my brother R.C. with his preterist view that everything that I'm about to read has already been fulfilled in 70 AD. The coming of the Lord in glory. Everything. It's called the preterist view. It's all been done. And then you got some people that have what's called the futurist view, that nothing's been done in Matthew 24 and 25. It's all out there right before Jesus comes back. And then you got the right view, which is it is both preterist and futurist. That the destruction of the temple, all these things, is being used by Jesus to tell us of something in the future that it foreshadows, that it points to. And the tough thing is you never know for the next two chapters immediately which one's he talking about. The all these things or the sign of the second coming or the end of the age. And you have to kind of go through this thing because sometimes it looks like you think he's talking about the end of the age when he's actually talking about the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. It's been done. And then sometimes the language around what's happening in the temple is being used to tell you what's going to happen at the end. For there'll be a tribulation in 70 AD, and there's a great tribulation, he says, before Jesus comes. And working our way through this is going to require carefulness. I refuse to take a scheme, whether it's my amillennialist friends or my premillennialist friends or my postmillennialist friends or my panmillennial, those are the ones that believe it's going to pan out in the end, the panmillennialist friends. I refuse to take the schemes to go to the text. May I just stop here and say, I really believe with all my heart, one of the keys for your Christian life is start with the Bible, come to the theology of the Bible, then develop your philosophy of life and ministry from your theology that comes from the Bible. Most of us adopt a philosophy of life and then try to proof text it in the Bible. So this is Jesus' big sermon on the second coming. So I'm in the right area. What I don't want to do is read my scheme I'm already committed to back into it. What I'd like to do is start with it. And whenever I'm at that point, let me use a word here, I become an exegetical slave. What I mean is I want to pull out from the Scripture and try to find the key in the Scripture, not in my predisposed scheme. And when I look at the Scripture, I always look for the grammatical cues. And the grammatical cue for Matthew 24 and 25 is the question that Jesus answers given to him in verses 3. When will these things happen? What is the sign of your coming and what is the sign of the end of the age? Now, watch this. I've given you an outline of the entire 24 and 25. I'm not going to go over the outline, but I do want you to see this, that in three sections, he is going to continually talk about the destruction of the temple, but as he does it, he's going to answer these three questions. In other words, look with me in chapter 24, verses 1. You remember the question was, when will these things happen? What is the sign of your coming and what is the sign of the end of the age? He reverses them and he takes the last one to come to his ears first. He answers, what is the sign of the end of the age in verses 4 through 14. Notice the phrase in verse 14, then the end will come. There's the giveaway. The first 14 verses are handling the third part of the question, what is the sign of the end of the age? Then the end will come. And even though he's talking about the destruction of the temple, verses 15 through 31 are designed to answer the second part of the question, what is the sign of your coming? If you will, look verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on. In other words, verses 15 through 31 are answering the second part of the question. What is the sign of your coming? Then verses 32 through 35 answer the first question. When will these things take place? When will these things be? Look in verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. You remember their question? When will these things occur? He answers that question in verses 32 through 35. He answers the question about the sign of Jesus coming in verses 15 through 31. And he answers the question of the sign of the end of the age in verses 1 through 14. And then we'll pick, you can follow the rest of the outline, we'll get to it in verses 36 through 41, and then the various parables that give us what I call life takeaways. Be alert, be ready, etc., in light of the second coming of Christ. So now let's go back to these verses 1 through 14. The key to the text is the question. The first thing that is being answered in the first 14 verses, or verses 4 through 14, is when is the sign of the end of the age? Now let me give you the second thing. The second thing that he does is this. The temple destruction is not the end of the age, but it is a type or a foreshadowing of the end. See, their presupposition was, when this temple is destroyed, then the end of the age and the coming of Christ must be directly related to it. He says, no, there is a relationship. It is a foreshadowing. There are things that are happening there that give the picture of what will happen then, but it is not immediately the sign of it or immediately tied to it. The temple destruction is not the end of the age, but it is a type or a foreshadowing of the end of the age. That's what he's answering in these verses. And then another thing that he's answering is this. There will be people, because of your fascination with signs and the end of the age, there will be people that will use misleading signs. But the misleading signs, while they're not the signs of the end of the age, they are birth pains. They're not the signs of the end of the age, but they are birth pains. There are six of these misleading signs or birth pains. What are they? Here's the first one. There will be violent political upheavals. Look at what he says in verse 5. Many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place. But that is not the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. Just stop that first part of verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The first thing he says is false teachers are going to capture you, teaching you about the end of the age. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to do it by wars and rumors of wars. Now, the amazing thing is the very thing Jesus warns us about, we all line up to go hear some preacher preach it. Some preacher will start telling us the wars that are happening. That's the sign of the end of the age. And Jesus just told you it's not. Wars and rumors of wars are not the sign of the end of the age. That's a misleading sign that false teachers will use to capture your curiosity and get you distracted from what you're supposed to be doing for Jesus. And it's the very thing that Jesus warns us against, we all line up and buy the tapes. Folks, there have been wars, there have been rumors of wars. There will be wars, and there will be rumors of wars. And it's a misleading sign to tell you that because there's wars and rumors of wars, that means the second coming. No, that's the way a broken world is. But then Jesus says, it's not a sign, but it is a what? What is it? Come on. It's a birth pain. It's a birth pain. It is a sharp pain that tells you God is going to deliver us from this misery to something glorious and great. It's not a sign of the end of the age, because we've had wars, we've had rumors of wars all along, and we will have them right up to the end, but it's not the sign, but it is a birth pain. It's a twinge that's telling us God's delivering us to something greater. Second misleading sign is natural catastrophes, famines and earthquakes. But there'll be, folks, there have been famines, there have been earthquakes. From the days of the flood of Noah on, famines and earthquakes and upheavals have been here. That is not the sign of the end of the age. I don't care how many times CNN shows you the picture. That is not the sign of the end of the age. But let me tell you what it is. It is a birth pang. It's one more statement that this world is groaning, wanting to be delivered to a new heavens and a new earth. The third birth pang will be persecution against the church. They will kill you. All the nations will at one time or another be devoted to killing you. All the nations will be committed to killing you. And they will deliver you up. Look at what it says. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. The persecution of the church is not the sign of the end of the age. It's been persecuted from day one. Stephen, James, Paul, Peter, all of the disciples, Justin Martyr, and then throughout the ages. It's not the sign of the end of the age, but it is a birth pain. God will not leave his people's blood unavenged. It cries out, O Lord, how long? A fourth birth pang is apostasy and treachery in the professing church. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. As I look at the numbers and the memberships of churches, I wonder, what is the real number? As time goes on, the true believer perseveres to the end. It's not his perseverance that saves him, but his perseverance shows his salvation. The false believer, like Simon the magician, falls away. Like the rocky soil here burns up. Like the thorny ground here gets choked out. That there will be many who will fall away. But apostasy, and they will deliver, they'll turn on each other. But listen, apostasy and treachery in the professing church did not just happen. It happened right among the 12 disciples, Judas himself. That's not the sign of the end of the age, but it is a birth pang, whereby we long for the day when the church will be pure and holy, delivered up to glory in Christ. A fifth birth pang is there will be false prophets and false teaching. I believe we're in the biggest onslaught of false prophets and false teaching we have ever had since the Reformation, since the 100 years prior to the Reformation. I believe this experience-oriented and based Christianity that denies the call of the mind and the heart to Christ is leading many people astray. That there, in fact, are false prophets and there are false teaching, but that's not the sign of the end of the age. The church has been plagued by false prophets within her pale from day one. Yet we look to the Lord for that day where righteousness will reign. A sixth birth pang in the text and sign, misleading sign that people will use is lawlessness. Lawlessness is increased and most people's love will go crazy. Isn't that interesting? How many of y'all are taught, or at least it's indicated to you, that whenever the law of God is developed within the church, that hardens the heart of God's people? Listen, the law of God can't save you. It can't keep you saved. There is no power to it whatsoever. But the law of the Lord teaches us how to what? Love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's the divine directives of the attributes of God, of holy love. And whenever lawlessness abounds in society, love will disappear. Every man for himself. And lawlessness comes to a society when lawlessness comes to the church. Oh Lord, how I love thy law. Its precepts cannot save me, but they are a light unto my life. I now know why Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Lawlessness brings disorder, chaos, and destructiveness in a society. Well, then, what is the evidence? With all of this falling away and all of these warnings, what is the evidence of one, the individual, being really saved? The evidence is that the one who is saved endures to the end. Look at verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. So it's not the endurance that saves you. Endurance is the evidence that a new heart is there. And even though all of these brokenness that we've just described is in the world and these birth pangs are striking, looking to the day of the coming of the Lord and the end of the age, then while all of those things are happening, what are God's people doing? God's people are walking in grace and persevering to the end because of His preserving grace that won't let go of our heart and our soul. Folks, what a glorious picture of God's people, kept by the truth and the Holy Spirit with their heart and their mind fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. That's the believer in the midst of all of this. By the way, there's just a thought here. Remember this. Prophecy in the Bible is not for curiosity. It is for behavior, to keep us focused. God gives us the information we need. And that's what He does here. After giving us, don't let people mislead you. I'm giving you this so you won't be misled by false teachers. These aren't the signs of the end of the age. They are birth pangs, but they're not the signs of the end of the age. Let me give you some life takeaways if I can. And let me first of all give you what is the sign of the end of the age. And He gives it to you right here. Verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. You want to know when the end is coming? When the gospel has been preached to the world, as defined by my God. When His glory has been declared as a testimony from the rising to the setting of the sun, and how we have seen this for 2,000 years. The whole world has been turned upside down by their preaching, came the word of one of them. And as Jesus has tarried, we have seen that gospel go from the east to the west and encircle the whole globe and now north to south. What a glorious thing. That preaching of the gospel to the end of the age is what precedes the end of the age. Now here's some takeaways I'd like to give you if I could. Just a couple of them here. Well, more than a couple. Just jot them down. But here they are. All right, number one, respond to Christ's pastoral concern. Don't let prophecy teaching become a curiosity fascination. Don't let people take the very signs that He says they were used to mislead you and mislead you away from the behavior He calls for you to have, which is perseverance to the end, which is preaching the gospel to the world. Hear Jesus' pastoral concern for you in these verses. Don't be misled by false teachers, prophecy teachers. Number two, Number two, second thing, is misleading signs are not signs, they're birth pangs. But let me tell you what birth pangs are. Not that I've had experience. I've just been around it. I didn't have it. But I know this about birth pangs. Birth pangs are insistent. They are consistent. And they intensify. That's what these things will do. These signs have been with us. They'll always be with us. We've had wars. We've had famines. We've had earthquakes. We've had false teachers. We've had apostasy. We've had treachery. We've had law. We've had these things all along. But as long as Jesus tarries from the day that he comes, and as long as the end of the age has not come, you will find these birth pangs, like all birth pangs, they keep intensifying. They keep consistent. So in the days of Jesus, there weren't any wars. There was Pax Romana. Within 4 decades, just in Rome, there would be so many insurrections and revolts that by the time 80 AD comes, 4 emperors will arise to take the throne of Rome in 1 year. That's how many revolts in that one place. Barbarians, then wars. And so wars have continued, but they kept intensifying. The last 300 years have counted 300 wars just in Europe. This last century, more people died in violent wars than have ever died in all wars together up until this century. That's not the sign of the end of the age, but as long as Jesus tarries, those birth pangs will intensify and will intensify. Earthquakes, famines, the brokenness of the world, apostasy, false teaching. Those things will intensify as birth, but they're not the sign. The third thing I want you to mention, I want to mention to you, is the relationship of the temple destruction to the end of the age. It was not the end of the age like they presupposed. What's got to happen? The temple's going to be destroyed. When was it destroyed? 70 AD. What's got to happen? The gospel's got to be preached where? To all the nations. Jesus is communicating to you. There's a span of time here. Yes, the temple destruction is foreshadowing, but it is not the sign of the end of the age of the coming. In fact, the gospel's got to be preached to all the nations. In fact, you folks who, I don't mean this laughingly, but you folks got to get killed by all the nations. That's going to take some time for that spreading tribulation, for that spreading persecution. So he disabuses them of that notion that the destruction of the temple is the signal that the end of the age and the coming of Christ is there. The fourth thing I want you to see is that the necessity of a time span is there, but remember the call of Jesus twice in the text. No man knows the hour, no man knows the time. That's not our business. Our business is to keep preaching the gospel and endure to the end by the grace of God for the glory of God. Number five, whenever we approach prophecy, this text and the resulting verses that have yet to be studied, let's always do it with prayer and humility. I beg of you, with prayer and humility, identifying the essentials, but taking our time to prayerfully and humbly walk our way through the text. Sixth thing is that the prophetic word is to prepare you and encourage you, not to indulge our curiosity. Endure to the end. Preach the gospel to the world. And then number seven, missions. And hastening the coming of the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? One of my brothers, Neil Gooch, came and brought campus outreach up to Charlotte, started a franchise there, kind of spun off from Birmingham to Augusta up to us. Now he's got some young men with him. They're going to South Africa. When we send people like that out, you know what we're doing? Peter says we're hastening the coming of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean we're changing the date on the Lord. But what has to happen before Jesus comes in the end of the age? The gospel must be preached to all the nations. Think about that the next time we start praying about our faith promise giving and a short-term missions trip and sending out a missionary. We're hastening the end of the age, the coming of the Lord, for the gospel must be preached to all the nations. Oh, these other things are fascinating. I know people will point them to you, and there's going to be all kinds of sermons. This war in the Middle East, this is it. This is it. They're going to tell you that. I'm telling you, it's a misleading sign. It's a birth pang, but it's not the sign. There's always been wars. In fact, there's been wars in the Middle East a long time. There's going to be more as long as Jesus. That's not the sign. That's just a broken world. That's what that is. Famines, earthquakes, You want to know how many earthquakes? And it keeps intensifying. There was an earthquake out of Charleston in the 1800s. Dr. Barker and I used to cross paths. We both have a dear friend who pastors in Waynesboro, Georgia. His name is Jimmy Knight. And we would go down there. Frank would do the conference one year. I'd do the conference next year. It's just one of these wonderful little southern towns. And it was so great to be there. And, you know, you just kind of say, oh, man, I could just live the rest of my life here on a chair, go to the study, teach a Bible study, preach a sermon on Sunday. You know, 700 people in this town. It was just great. I love being there for a week. I used to walk around downtown, and there was a sign there, downtown Waynesboro. And it's right in front of a house. In the 1880s, that house used to be a house of ill repute. Y'all know what that is, right? And there was this dear African-American saint that would walk by it every single day. And she'd say, Lord, save him or judge him. And she'd go on by. Lord, save him or judge him. And she was walking by it the day the tremor from that 1886 earthquake in Charleston ran right up there. And all the natural gas lights began to explode. And that house began to shake up there on that hill. And the natural gas lights in it were exploding. And people were running out of there in all manner of clothing and unclothing. And she looked up and saw the house shaking and felt everything going on. And she looked up and she said, oh, Lord, shake them one more time. They ain't heard you yet. Listen, the Lord uses the catastrophes. He uses the wars. He uses all of these things that are a result of a broken world as birth pains to say, oh, God, deliver us to the age to come. But the sign that I'm looking to is your endurance in Christ to the end. And preaching the gospel to all the nations to the end. That's where Jesus has brought us as we anticipate the end of the age.
Just like a woman's birth pangs signal the time is approaching for her baby to be born, the Lord describes birth pangs in the world that will increase with consistency, intensity, and insistency as the end of the age draws even closer. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's broadcast was taken, write and request, What is the Sign of the End of the Age? Or simply ask for message number 8772. Again, that's message number 8772. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD and shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. In Perspective is an extension of the Briarwood Pulpit and the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. Write to us and let us know if In Perspective is making a difference in your life. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or simply email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.